Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Today we're going behind the headlines of those demonstrations in the area this past week, and that's where we're starting. Joining me in studio are executive news editor Shula Newman of St. Louis Public Radio and arts and culture reporter Nancy Fowler. Thanks, both of you, for being with us.
Hey, Don.
Thank you, Don.
We'll begin with Shula. Shula, you come to us with breaking news.
Breaking news. Well, what happened? Jason Rosenbaum went to the Board of Aldermen this morning in downtown St. Louis, and the Board of Aldermen passed a resolution today. The gist of the resolution is to signify the impact of the death of Anthony Lamar Smith on the city of St. Louis and to commemorate the changes that are coming because of his death. Apparently, Lyda Crewson hugged Smith's mother, who was there, and the board expressed sorrow over Smith's death, but hopes that this sparks discussion and change.
But, of course, we don't know what those changes are going to be that they're anticipating.
We don't. Although Lyda Crewson also, the mayor of St. Louis, also sent out a letter in which she essentially cited the Ferguson Commission report as the way forward, as looking specifically at proposals about how to strengthen civilian oversight board for the police, how to change use of force policies, and how to work on improving community policing standards. All of those things she hopes will help improve police relationships.
Clearly what they're trying to do is tamp this thing down at this particular juncture. They want to cool things off a little bit. But I have the sense, and let's see if our reporters do, and perhaps you, that maybe that's already beginning to happen, because last night was relatively quiet.
Relatively quiet. Well, every day for the past several days, there have been protests, but they haven't been long-lasting, destructive. Last night's protest, for example, several hundred people, mostly white people, because the call was for white supporters of the movement or white allies to come out and show their support. They gathered in Kino Plaza. They walked down Broadway to just outside the baseball stadium. There was a lot of chanting. Nothing happened, though. And once the music started, it was actually – I was watching on a live stream, and it was actually – I don't know. I shouldn't say it was funny, but it kind of was. Because once the music started, the protesters were still chanting, but then you could hear the music coming out of Busch Stadium, and it would be obvious that the chanters, that the protesters would be overwhelmed by the noise from inside the stadium, and that's when they – paused and reversed course and went back up Broadway towards Kiener Plaza and blocked traffic for a while. But there were no arrests. There was no horrible confrontation. And they dispersed fairly early.
The music, of course, was that of Billy Joel.
Billy Joel, yes.
Who did get a chance to perform. And that's a little bit different, too, because the earlier concerts were canceled because of what's been going on.
Yes. And I'm not sure how it is. A lot of the other concerts were canceled because the organizers of the concerts, the promoters of the concerts, claimed that they couldn't get enough security because all of the police were working overtime on securing the streets of St. Louis. Evidently, Billy Joel's people were able to find security, or the St. Louis police were much more willing to offer more people to secure the venue.
Which is a good sign. Feeling confident in that regard, that is very good.
That's true. They did have barricades. They had prepared. I mean, there were barricades all surrounding the Busch Stadium in the streets, blocking off the sidewalks. So they were definitely prepared.
A couple of other things were going on last night. You know, we talk all the time, particularly after Ferguson, about we need to have a conversation. Well, a couple of conversations last night. Mm-hmm. There was the county NAACP had a town hall meeting. And then, of course, there was that gathering at Harris Stowe in which there was a lot of talk about what was going on. What do we know about that?
Well, that they were basically just talks, opportunities for discussion. And that's a very important thing at this point, especially with the T-Rex, with the NAACP conversation. They held that at T-Rex, which is a co-working space intended for entrepreneurs in our region. So it's targeting a very specific group of people to come out and talk about these issues and what they can do as the entrepreneurial community. Harris Stowe was a very different it was a very different venue. It was a very different kind of conversation because most of the people there are people that are impacted adversely by relations with police. Mm-hmm. So that was a chance also for a different kind of conversation. But I think that helps heal people as well.
And there's a lot of it going on, and that's very good. One thing I did notice was the former mayor of St. Louis, Freeman Bosley Jr., was fairly outspoken during the meeting last night. He was critical of Lida Crewson, said she didn't really know what was going on, which is unfortunate to be making public comments like that. I think. This is my opinion.
I would think.
And also talked about the need for jobs and education as being critical to this whole thing.
Yeah. Right. Right, which is also something that Lida Crewson agrees with. In fact, in the letter that she issued today where she talked about the need to adhere to the Ferguson Commission report, she also mentioned a goal of training 500 people in 100 days for jobs through the City Start program. Mm-hmm. So either she heard Freeman Bosley Jr. or she already had planned on – she was already thinking along those lines.
What's on tap? What sort of an agenda is there or do we know at this point for tonight and weekend?
I am not sure about the weekend, but I know tonight the organized protesters have called for people to meet at what was formerly Mills Mall, which is now St. Louis Outlet Mall, right, mm-hmm. in Hazelwood. Mm-hmm. And we'll see what happens there. We're trying to figure out why they are targeting that place, but it should be an interesting evening.
And it will be interesting to see if, in fact, they go there because they changed their strategy a couple of days ago. Instead of going to the business district in Clayton, they went to the Galleria.
Right, which some people would argue is a pretty smart strategy because not only did they end up shutting down a lot of businesses in Clayton, so they did end up disrupting Clayton, they also managed to disrupt businesses and life as normal by the mall, by the Galleria. Hmm. So maybe that is their plan tonight, too.
There are protests. The people who are in favor of the protests think they're a good thing to do and are supporting of them. But not everyone, Nancy Fowler, belongs in that camp.
That's right. I mean, the protests that stem from the Stockley verdict, of course, you know, have a lot of white allies. And as we talked about, you know, there was a rally held, you know, for white allies last night. But, you know, not everyone who's white, of course, is marching, and nor do many even understand why people are marching. I talked with several St. Louis area residents that say they feel the protests are misguided. And I know I'm a white person. I'm talking to white people about issues that affect African Americans. So, you know, that is problematic. But I'm also a reporter. And the people I talked with say they know that racism is a big problem in St. Louis and that something needs to be done.
Well, let's hear what some of those folks had to say.
Yeah, so Jan Boomer is 64. She lives in St. Charles. She's retired from Microsoft. Her father was a police officer. And she's read the entire 30-page Stockley verdict, and she agrees with it. She agrees with that the not guilty verdict was the right one. She's avoiding going into the city right now and doesn't want to be caught up in anything, she says. But she really believes that there are other ways besides protest to change the status quo. We're going to hear from her now.
We have to trust in the legal system. And if there's something wrong in it, there are other ways to remedy it. Yes, they're slower. Absolutely. We have to vote. Many of these judges are voted, or if they're appointed, they're appointed by somebody who was voted in. We have a mayor that was voted in. If we don't like what the mayor is doing, we have to vote them out. It is slow, but it is the process in a civilized nation.
A lot of people would say that what you just described sounds great, but to do that, you have to have a belief and a trust in the system and that the system will work for you. I know there's a lot of people that say, you know, the system hasn't worked for us, so how can we trust that that would happen?
And that's why I thought of the religious leaders, because they do trust their religious leaders. And if you take all the religious leaders of the area who don't have another agenda to get together and put all of the problems out on the table and come up with solutions, yes, then we can involve our police and our courts and our mayor's office, what have you. But they could actually, with level heads, come up with solutions because they will listen to each other.
That's Jan Boomer, whom Nancy Fowler has talked to. Again, I'm voicing my opinion here,
sure.
But as wonderful as all of that would be, it seems a little pie in the sky to me at this point.
Well, yeah, and there are many that would agree with that statement. You know, some people in the African-American community say that they're tired of talking, that they've tried lots of things. They've tried talking. Kevin Nevels is a 50-year-old African-American man who lives in Bellefontaine Heights, and he's a veteran, a machine operator, and he mentors more than a dozen kids. And he was at and spoke at a meeting this week that sought input from people about what kind of police chief they want for St. Louis. And He said that he wants a chief that will hold officers accountable. And he told the crowd about how he's been profiled by police more than once, including a time that he even has his body searched for drugs that he says didn't exist. So let's hear from him about that experience.
Police officer, pull me over, take me out of my vehicle, take my belt, and have me drop my pants to my ankles and reach his hand inside my underwear looking for crack. And it makes a difference. I had four of those kids with me when those police officers did that to me. They did that to 2 9-year-olds, an 11-year-old, and a 12-year-old. I was in tears. Because what do I say to them? You can't beat my community down and expect me to keep holding prayer vigils and lighting candles and begging the police to please stop.
That is Kevin Nettles.
Nettles, yes.
Yeah, thank you. You know, it's really hard, I think, for a lot of white people to understand this. We heard a lot of this sort of thing following Ferguson. It's been going on for a long, long time. But until you walk a mile in those shoes and really recognize what that community is facing, it's difficult to understand.
Yeah, different perspectives, for sure.
Yeah, there's, you know, not to advertise for a different show, but We Live Here, the podcast that we have, they did explore this issue that there is very much for white people, there is an undue burden of proof that they put on people of color that to verify that the experience that they claim that they had, like this gentleman did, it is real and does happen and isn't a fluke. And that's a very hard thing for a lot of white people to really understand.
And it really is based on color. And I've talked to people in the studio that we've had as guests on the program, and particularly after Ferguson, talk to African-Americans and say, have you ever been stopped while driving while black and that sort of thing? PhDs, doctors, I mean, people of means and people of position, all of them, without exception, said, yeah, it's happened to me too.
Right. Sure.
Hard for us to grasp.
Yep.
I'd like to go back to the Jan Boomer cut, if I may, because she made an issue of talking with people in the clergy. They could get together and come up with some conclusions and some ideas for this, and then go to the police and say, here's what ought to be done. There was a lot of that went on during Ferguson.
Sure.
The clergy was very actively involved.
And this week, even, there was a group of clergy that held a rally, I would call it, downtown, and it brought out a lot of people, and they certainly are thinking about it and talking about it in their congregations.
And one of the things you have to ask is, are people in the streets listening to what's being said from the pulpit? Mm. You know, that's not always happening. Let's take a break. Come back, and we'll continue with Nancy's perspective on all of this and the people that she has talked to. We're talking with Nancy Fowler, arts and culture reporter here at St. Louis Public Radio, and also Shula Newman, who is the executive news editor here. Back to continue this conversation in just a moment. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU. Now back to our conversation with Shula Newman and Nancy Fowler of St. Louis Public Radio. Nancy, again, we're looking at the perspective of those who think that the demonstrators might not be on the right track on this. Okay, so where are we now in this discussion?
Okay, so I talked with a 23-year-old man named Tom Davis. He's a medical scientist who grew up in Webster Groves, and now he lives in Dogtown. He does not have a problem with protesting in and of itself, but he believes that the protesting around the Stockley verdict is problematic. He says that the details in this particular case make it a poor choice to pin a protest on.
To a reasonably large chunk of the population, the fact that Mr. Smith was interrupted during a drug deal, by all accounts, led police on a high-speed chase after crashing his car into a police vehicle a couple of times, I believe deliberately. And then there's at least a question about whether or not Mr. Stockley acted in self-defense. Again, I don't know any of the relevant details there. As I said before, the optics aren't great. It's at least a less sympathetic poster child almost to rally around.
Tom Davis talking to Nancy Fowler. That is something, that poster child comment is something that we've heard before, most notably following the shooting death of Michael Brown.
Yes.
Yeah.
And there's definitely, having spoken with protesters, the response that many of them would have is that there are no ideal poster childs unless it's a pastor or a priest or something. They really, you know, it's very hard to find that. Also, I just want to point out in his statement that we don't actually know what Smith was doing and why the police decided to chase him. Stockley claims that he was suspected of a drug deal, and certainly Smith had a history, but a criminal history. But we don't actually know what the charges would have been.
That's right.
Right. Okay. Well, we have some other people who have called into us here at St. Louis Public Radio with regard to their thoughts on all of what's been going on. Let's give a listen, and we can comment on what they had to say. The first we have is from an Alex who's unidentified beyond Alex. He's calling from St. Louis City. Let's hear what he had to say.
I agree with the protesters that his comment about a heroin dealer having a firearm was unfounded, distasteful, and biased, if not overtly racist. But I don't think that one comment renders the entire verdict not true. I think he spends a lot of time addressing all of the factual issues. And I'm frankly a little bit disturbed by how I feel like a lot of protesters are not actually evaluating the verdict on the fact, but rather listening to news headlines and giving us a hot take.
And that is Alex calling to us here at St. Louis Public Radio from the city of St. Louis. Yeah, a lot of people are not following the law precisely in terms of what was decided and how the judge decided. But emotion, this is an emotional thing, and that seems to be paramount, almost first and foremost. Thoughts on that?
It's emotional, and also we'll hear from someone in a minute, an analyst who says for protesters, it's not about the details; it's about the bigger picture. It's about the issues.
Yeah. We have done some things in the past on this program, and one notable conversation we had was with Percy Green, longtime activist here in St. Louis, and Frankie Freeman, a noted and highly regarded civil rights attorney. This is, by the way, on our St. Louis in Black and White series, which is on our website. But they had an interesting debate on civil disobedience versus rule of law. And it really is a fascinating conversation. You know, both can be effective. And needless to say, Percy Green chose civil disobedience as the route that should be taken, and Frankie Freeman, the rule of law. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's kind of what's going on here with this discussion that we're having today.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah. I'm looking at a caller that didn't stay. Hannah from St. Charles observes that Black Lives Matter chose a tough person to champion as a martyr, and Anthony Smith. Well, that pretty much follows what we just heard.
A lot of people say that.
Yeah. Before we continue, then we have a couple of callers. Let's bring them into the conversation. Terry in St. Louis wants to backtrack a little bit and I think comment on what Shula had reported earlier about Mayor Crewson. Let's bring him in. Terry, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, Don. This is Terry Weiss. The comment was made that Freeman Bosley Jr. accused Light of not having a clue as to what was going on. The question was she in following the Ferguson Commission recommendations and forward through Ferguson simply responding to his criticism? I had an email exchange with Lida several days ago, and whether it was with job training and employment opportunities, police oversight and police training, it was she was embracing wholeheartedly following the recommendations of the Ferguson Commission report. So I just want to say that in defense of Lida.
Terry, thank you so much for calling. That clarifies that, certainly. She has been active. How would you like to become mayor of St. Louis a couple of months later, be faced with something like this? I mean, that's something most of us would not like to do. One more clip here from a caller to St. Louis Public Radio. Let's bring in Sarah. She's calling from St. Louis. She left us a voicemail as well. Let's see what she has to say.
I believe that the protesters' actions are somewhat questionable, especially the blocking of Kings Highway, which leads to two of the major hospitals in St. Louis, including St. Louis Children's Hospital, and also protesting in front of Mayor Crewson's home, who publicly stated that she was appalled by the verdict. To me, that looks like intimidation and bullying, and set a tone that ultimately degrades the moral high ground that the protesters did have.
That's an argument you hear a lot.
Yes.
Right. Yep.
Okay. Take us forward, Essie.
Okay. So, I talked with Calvin Lai, an assistant professor in psychological and brain sciences at Washington University, about the ways in which people think so differently about these protests. And a couple things. He said, you know, one thing that informs how we think about them is, of course, our own lives and our experiences. And he said, you know, often it breaks down along racial lines. He gave the example that if your interactions with the police are to, you know, chat briefly over a cup of coffee at Starbucks, you know, that's one thing. He said, but if you're being pulled over and you feel that you're being harassed for no reason, you know, as what the experience that Kevin Nevels described earlier, and you're afraid of the police, you're going to have a different, you know, view and opinion about the protest. And he said, as far as the verdict and people calling the Stockley case not the right, not the best case to pin this on, he said the protests may stem from the Stockley verdict, but they're not about the Stockley verdict. Lai says that the protesters are looking at a big picture of what they see as continued excessive police force against African Americans. And it's like he called it death by a thousand paper cuts of continual incidents. But he said the people that believe the protests are misguided are people that they're not engaged in the protests and that they're possibly like poring over the details of the case.
Let's hear what he, if we can.
You have these protests about particular cases where people get caught up in the details of a case, irrespective of the truth value of the kind of larger issues that the protest might be concerned about. So that is a thing that is probably going on.
Well, so, that takes us back to the emotion part of it once again.
And the experiences that you have will inform how you feel about it.
Mm-hmm. And how difficult it is to find common ground.
Yes.
Let's bring in a couple of more listeners. We have Allie calling from Quincy, Illinois. Let's bring in Allie. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Thank you. I am on board with the protests and the movement, but I'm wondering what exactly the movement is wanting. Like, are there any tangible and specific goals that they need met? And, like, how can we become a part of the solution rather than the problem?
Thank you for your call, Allie.
Yeah, that is a great question, and it's actually one that the newsroom has been – we're digging to come to find a story so we can tell. I mean, we do know that they – want the ability to subpoena the Civilian Oversight Board. That's one concrete thing that we know. But aside from that, we don't have any concrete demands yet. I am sure that they are working on them, and I'm sure that we're going to find out. Based on the protest last night, there was one protest organizer who was telling the crowd that their very presence there gives a message to police that the tenor of the police and the way that the police interact with African American people is not tolerable. And the mere presence of more white people sort of reinforces and scares the police, I think was the word that he actually used. So I think in many ways, just having a large white presence in the protests sends a message to police and to other people that this isn't just an African American issue. There's a lot of white people who care as well.
Yeah, I think so many of the things that are wanted as far as change are intangible in many ways. They want a system that doesn't result in these kinds of experiences that people are having with the negative experiences with the police.
Well, the fact that Mayor Crewson is pointing to the Ferguson Commission report, there are a lot of elements of that report that I think would be accepted very favorably by people who are demonstrating. And I have a note here today that she did put out that statement, Shula, as you've indicated earlier today, that the Ferguson Commission report is our path forward.
Yeah, that was her statement. And I would also say Jason Rosenbaum is going to have a story about this later, but there's also the question of part of what is required from the Ferguson Commission report is a change to our laws on a statewide level. And that brings its own set of issues and difficulties because the state legislature just doesn't seem amenable to addressing a lot of these problems.
That's very true. We've commented on that many times, that after Ferguson, when so much needed to be done, so little was done in Jefferson City, which is unfortunate. Thank you both so much for being with us and taking us behind the headlines. But we're not done yet, are we, Nancy?
Well, I just wanted to say that these people I've talked with and many others will be part of a story that I will be working on for next week about how people, white people who are not understanding the protesters, how they feel and how they perceive it. So that'll be next week.
That's Nancy Fowler of St. Louis Public Radio. Thank you for being with us. Shula Newman, thank you for being with us. Have a nice weekend, everybody. Let's hope it's peaceful and quiet, at least relatively so. Coming up, a first, Bookfest St. Louis. This is St. Louis on the Air on St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.